Aaron Simons. Aaron is the program manager with the American Lung Association in Minnesota. She provides tobacco policy technical assistance in southern Minnesota. Aaron has worked with more than a dozen campuses throughout the passage and implementation of comprehensive tobacco free grounds policy. Aaron has been with the American Lung Association in Minnesota for 8 years, building coalitions and raising awareness around smoke-free policies, asthma, COPD, and radon. Prior to working there, Aaron worked for two local public health agencies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just out of curiosity, how many of you work for a campus? So most of you. And how many of your campuses are tobacco-free? Just a few of you. I got one of these a little bit or in process. So I don't have anything to disclose. The objectives for this portion of the session are to identify some key steps in passing and implementing a policy, and then also we'll go through a few pitfalls that campuses tend to run into. Before I start, I do want to say that this policy work is very gray. It's not black and white. It's going to look different on every campus. And so this really is just a guide. And each campus, each employee is going to bring a different flavor to this policy work. I am going to send this around the room. We've put together a manual in Minnesota that guides folks through the policy change process and gives a number of tools that have been used in campuses in our state. We have roughly 50 campuses in Minnesota who have a comprehensive tobacco-free policy, and then several others who have policies that are less than comprehensive that we applaud a little but don't necessarily recognize just yet. So why a tobacco-free grounds policy? We know that 25 to 30% of undergraduate students use tobacco products. Roughly 40% of those are initiating while on college campuses. And 1.3 million of those students will die from tobacco-related diseases. This seems to be a number that's getting attention from administrators, and maybe it's new to the discussion in Minnesota anyway. So the benefits of having a policy: we are decreasing secondhand smoke exposure. We're decreasing initiation. Hopefully we're increasing cessation and litter. We're decreasing litter. And while from our perspective, the top three are certainly the most important, for many campuses, that last one is really the driving force for putting a policy into place. So we've broken policy change into three different phases: planning, implementation, and the first year. We certainly know that it's important to continue on after that first year, but for today, we'll just talk about that first year. So planning, as you're starting to build your task force, be thinking about who's going to be part of your circle. Who are key players on campus? Every campus functions so differently. It might be residential life. It might be administration. Sometimes it's very random people. One of the task force meetings that I was a part of last month included a geography professor who was really leading this initiative and had been for many years just on the sidelines sending emails all staff. Why haven't we done this yet? And so don't exclude anyone. Be creative and really look for some of those unusual suspects. As you develop your task force, consider what your task force responsibilities are. Defining those in the very beginning is important. Defining the term of the task force is also important. What you don't want to see is that the task force ends up being the holder of the policy, and when the policy is in place, that's who I call when I have a complaint about my policy. The purpose of the task force is really just to guide the process. One of the key initiatives that the task force oftentimes initiates and oversees is assessment. And I'll talk about two different types of assessments. The first is a survey. We really encourage if you're going to do a survey, that you include the entire campus community. It's very difficult to get more than 50% of the students to say, yes, we want a policy on campus. So as you're framing the survey, making sure that it's not framed as a vote. We're just collecting information as part of a bigger picture. We're not asking students to be the decision makers through this survey. When we include the entire campus community, oftentimes the students range in the low 50% support. Sometimes we can hit around 60% depending on the campus that we're working with. But generally the employees really embrace the idea of a tobacco-free campus. Many campuses will be well into the 60% support, sometimes as high as 80 to 85% supporting a tobacco-free campus policy. So key to include them. The other type of assessment that we see on campuses is a grounds assessment. And you can see a picture of Butts on the campus. This is an activity that oftentimes students get excited about. It's something tangible. They can do it. They can pick them up. They can use them in displays. I really urge you to use caution when you're doing a physical assessment of the campus. As someone who's not part of the campus community, I would not participate in that type of assessment, nor would I participate in presenting the results of that type of assessment. For me, from the outside, this very much would appear as me judging your campus and look how filthy it is. So be sure that the flavor of your assessment is that generally coming from students, and generally, this is where I live and it's dirty and I don't like it. But again, be sure to use caution. Another key activity for the task force, and oftentimes an activity that's delegated to student groups, is building support. There are a lot of activities that can be done on campus. One that we've used on many campuses is Picture a Policy, and I'll pass around a couple of books that we've put together. This is students, staff, faculty, everyone who's part of the campus community. Generally, this is done through tabling or going directly to groups on campus, like fraternities and sororities, sporting groups, and asking their opinion. How would a tobacco-free campus benefit us? Why would you like to see one on campus? This has been a great tool to bring to administration, to bring to other decision makers on campus to help influence them. It really puts a person with those numbers that you're collecting through survey and other assessments. Some of their responses are very generic, like clean air is wonderful, but you also get a lot of wonderful stories about students who have asthma, staff or faculty who have health conditions that are impacted by secondhand smoke. As you're starting to have the discussion on your campus about a tobacco-free campus policy, it's important to discuss the different types of policies that campuses are passing. I've identified three. One is a comprehensive policy. This means that the entire grounds are tobacco-free. Sometimes campuses will allow tobacco use in personal vehicles, and sometimes they don't. We're considering both to be comprehensive at this point. Some campuses are passing policies that are just smoke-free and not tobacco-free. In Minnesota, in the last few years, we've really seen a shift, so campuses are no longer passing smoke-free policies. They are tobacco-free, but that's looking different in every state. And then transitional policies, where they might start at one point and end in a different place, like a comprehensive policy. If that's the route that you choose to go, be sure that in the initial policy that you pass, you include the endpoint. So as of January 1st, 2013, we are going to have 10 designated smoking areas. They will be eliminated by July 1st, 2013. If you don't include that in that initial policy language, you may be stuck with a really poor policy for many years. One of the key things that has helped me encourage campus decision makers to pass comprehensive policies is asking them if they want to do this process again. Do you see your campus going through this again? And they do not. They want to get it over with and have it behind them. Also decide as a task force what your deal breakers are. It's important to decide that before things get heated and before you get too far down the line. You may have disagreement within your group about what you do and do not want to see in a policy. So hashing all of that out as a group privately, but also making those decisions before you get really excited that we're almost there. If we just say yes to this one thing, then we'll have a policy. So deciding early on that where your comfort is. That looks different for every campus. Some may be designated smoking areas, smoking in personal vehicles. For one campus that I worked with, they were okay with personal vehicles as long as it said that they were enclosed. So they want the windows up and they want everybody inside. There's no sitting in the back of a pickup truck, no sitting on your motorcycle. You have to be in an enclosed vehicle. In Minnesota, we don't allow smoking shelters if they're more than 50% enclosed, and so that hasn't been as big of an issue in our state, but may be for some of you. After you've been meeting for a while, hopefully you're starting to talk about policy language and what that's going to look like. We encourage you to include 5 sections in your policy. I've been called in to help clean up policies that aren't going so well. One business that I went to meet with, they were having a lot of trouble. It had hit the media in their small community. I said, well, can I see a copy of your policy? It was one sentence. And therein lies the problem. So they needed to add a bit of language to that. So we encourage you to include rationale. Why did you come to this point? How did you decide that this was important? That's really key as you change administrations so that your new president, your new deans understand what your campus was going through prior to the policy being passed. Definitions, what products do you include? I have a picture of hookah and e-cigarette. Those are really important to include in that initial policy language. And you can include more vague things like tobacco or nicotine products. So that you can foresee into the future. Locations, what are we talking about? All of our grounds, all of our campus-owned vehicles, what is included and what isn't. Enforcement, who's responsible to enforce this policy? How will it be enforced? In Minnesota, enforcement generally falls to the campus community as a whole. It's really about social norm change and empowering that silent majority to speak up and say, hey, we're not smoking on our campus anymore. And then you want to be sure to include cessation language so employees and students know in the future where they'll be able to access cessation services and how. So here's a sample policy. It's bits and pieces of my favorite language from different policies, but you can see that in that first paragraph, they do include where tobacco is prohibited. We have the definitions, violations and how they'll be handled, and cessation programs. Okay, I've got to go faster. As you're implementing your policy, key things to consider are communication, how you're going to communicate to employees, students, and the media. As an outsider, I really want the campus to share the news themselves, so I might provide them with press releases, but it's theirs to share, and I want them to feel like I've given them the tools to shout it from the rooftops and share with the larger community. Signage, we have a lot of sample signage that I'd be happy to share with you. It's key. Most of the campuses that I've worked with are hesitant to put signage up because this is not what our campus is about. We focus on a lot of other things. But it's a lot harder for someone to break the policy if they're standing next to a sign that informs them about it. Most of the campuses I work with choose very celebratory language like welcome to our smoke-free or tobacco-free campus. And then others, say things like thank you for respecting our tobacco-free campus. We encourage campuses to have meetings with their neighborhood whether that be residential or businesses, and inform them of what their policy is going to be, how they will enforce it, and who to call if they have problems if students are going to smoke on their property. Year one, the primary challenges that you face will be enforcement. Sometimes that might change throughout the course of year one, but you might also start to see policy fatigue, and that's why it's important to outline for the task force what their responsibilities will be and when their term will end. Here are here's a sample of business cards that we give out on campuses that helps with enforcement and is a non-confrontational way for them to share information about the policy. Communication to students in acceptance letters, websites. Some campuses do it through registration. Student handbooks, employee handbooks, even a year out, we're still looking at these things to be sure they've been included, and we often find misses. So it's a great activity for students to be engaged in a year out is digging through policies to see if it's been included. And of course, taking time to celebrate. Thank you.